you like Copy of God's Word here, Newcastle today. Get yourself educated in the things that really matter. Eternal issues, that is, you know, that salvation, Word of God offered to you quite freely without any cost or any obligation to you. New Testament of the Bible offered to you, you are simply on the taking. Like a copy of God's Word, do feel free to come and ask for one, gladly place into your hand. This course, Word of God, and these things were written that you might believe, that is, trust, you know, in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, believing that He is indeed the Son of God, and that you might have life, eternal life, in His name. Quality of life, that is, you know, here and now. Life without the sin factor, you know, without the ungodliness. Life that is in covenant friendship with God. Knowing God and knowing Jesus Christ whom He sent, Jesus tells us, is eternal life. And that's gotten through faith in the Son of God, who came into the world to save wretched sinners such as you and I. That we might die one day, as we all must, but it is appointed unto man once to die. Inevitable. And of course, judgment follows. So let's be ready for that day. Eternal life in the name, faith in the Son of God. Reading from God's Word today, Castle here. Got a Bible with you, maybe you'd like to turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 4. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" Jesus Christ, the Son of God, occasion when it was shown clearly, you know, that the Old Testament of the Bible spoke of His coming, how He would come, and of course, why He would come, and what He would do when He came. And of course, well, on that occasion, which was predicted of Him was fulfilled there and then. And then, of course, all the other subsequent events in His life also demonstrated the fulfillment of what God predicted concerning His Son, His coming and living and dying and rising again from the dead, all foretold hundreds, thousands of years before the events actually took place. But all, of course, fulfilled. And of course, everything that God indeed has fulfilled, nothing of it shall fail. Salvation, my friends, for those whom He has chosen to eternal, everlasting life. And of course, well, we the other, reprobation for those whom he has not chosen. But of course, those whom God has chosen to eternal life, well, they will, you know, at some point in their history, they will hear the message of the gospel. This one, of course, that Jesus himself declares on this occasion, Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he says, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel. To whom? Well, to sinners lost, sinners broken, you know. That's what Jesus came for this purpose. I came forth to preach the gospel, the kingdom of God, that men and women might hear the truth about their sin, that they might be brought to repentance and to faith through the Son of God and receive life in his name. But you see, my friends, the preaching of the gospel, foolishness to those, says God, who are perishing. But to those who are believing, to them, of course, it's the power of God unto salvation. God says so. So maybe, perhaps, preaching of the gospel is a matter of foolishness to you. Well, that's just simply, says God, in evidence, you know, as to your state and condition, that you're on the pathway to a lost eternity, to perdition. And one, I might suggest to you today, well, that you might like to depart from, that is, you know, repent of your sin, as God would have you and command you to do. Let the wicked forsake his way, practice manner of living, that is, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. A change of mind, repentance, a turning from your wicked ways, your sinful heart, your unbelief, and turning to God through his Son, Jesus Christ, that you might be saved. But only through the preaching of the gospel, that's the means, you see, employed by God to save sinners. And the means, of course, employed here by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the Son of God. He hath anointed me to preach the gospel. I mean, what else do we need to preach? Would we want to preach? There's only one gospel, that Christ died for the ungodly. Those that know that they're ungodly, that is. He died for sinners, those who know that they're sinners. That is, of course, you don't know that and don't want to know it. Well, then you can't much be saved, can you? So you see, my friends, the preaching of the gospel. One gospel. Christ, my friend, the Son of God. Bible God says, anyone comes to you with another gospel that's no gospel at all, let him be accursed. The hottest place in the damnation of hell allotted to false religionists, those who propagate, those who bring to you another gospel than that which Jesus himself declared, my friend. The gospel, you see, according to the word of God, that God sent his Son into the world, that through him, even those who rage against him, those who are dead in their trespasses and sins, those who are without hope in this world, that they might be saved, that they might be saved, my friends, that the rage might be taken out of their hearts, my friends, and that they might be brought to their right mind, you know, removed from that mental state, you know, and found clothed in their right minds and sitting at the feet of Jesus. Oh, I tell you, the worst of sinners, I tell you, the vilest offenders can be saved by the gospel. It's God's power, don't you know, unto salvation. We'll not preach anything else to you. Bring good news to you that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's what he did himself. He preached the gospel, my friends. And that's what his followers they do today. They preach the gospel to sinners. They tell them of their wicked state and condition. Don't hear much of that in your churches in Newcastle today. Oh no, not my friend. They'll feed you and clothe you. They'll sing and dance for you, but they won't tell you the truth. They won't give the gospel to you. That which you need more than anything else, more than you need to breathe. You need my gospel, my friends. The only power to salvation that can save you from your wretched state and condition, my friends. Christ Jesus himself preached the gospel. I preach it to you, my friends. No, you need telling the truth. You know, not your fanciful opinions and the delusions, of course, that your nation has fallen into in these days. Because it does not receive a love of the truth, the Bible says. God says he gives them over to strong delusions. And here you are today, my friends, in that very state and condition, believing that men can become a woman, a woman become a man. I mean, what stronger delusion do you need than that, my friend? And what an evidence of the truth of God. And all because you will not receive a love of the truth that would make you free, the truth that would save you, the gospel that would bring salvation to you and bring you to a right mind, you know, and remove you, save and deliver you from the madness of sin. But that's what Jesus came for. And don't you know, he tells us here, that's what he was sent for, what he came for, to preach the gospel to the poor, my friends, those who are spiritually poor. No, my friends, not to make you healthy and not to make you wealthy. The poverty that Jesus speaks about, my friends, is the poverty of spirit. Men and women who are poor, who are devoid of the riches of God's grace, his kindness, his love, his mercy, and his favor. Poor, poverty-stricken. Oh yes, you can be rich. You can be very rich. You can be as rich as a Bill Gates, you know, or some other rich super celebrity in your world today. Oh, you can have all the money in the world. But my friends, you can still be poor in God's sight, my friends. Devoid of any righteousness before God, that's to be poor. If you haven't got righteousness enabling you to stand before God, your righteousness, as God says, they're like filthy rags in his sight, untouchable. No, you need another righteousness. You need the righteousness of the gospel, the righteousness of God, which is given to a man, to a woman, when they truly believe on Jesus. But until then, my friends, they're poverty stricken. They're poor. They're wanting for grace, wanting for mercy, wanting for love, wanting, my friends, for salvation. Oh, what a poor state sinners are in. Can't you see it around you in your society here in Newcastle today? Poor, lost, broken souls. Don't know their left hand from their right hand, eh? Don't know the rock from which you're hewn. Your first parent, Adam, in his sin, my friends, a sin nature and sin practice is leading you don't know where. Huh? You don't know where. Not even the ABCs of the gospel are known amongst you. Oh, the poverty of Newcastle today. Poor, lost sinners, poverty stricken, my friends, without the gospel. Only the gospel, only belief in the gospel, only faith in the Son of God can bring you the riches, the true riches, my friend. The riches of heaven, my friend. That which money cannot buy. Faith, I tell you, as the Bible says, more precious than silver and gold. What shall it profit, says Jesus, if a man shall gain the whole world but lose his soul? I mean, what would you do with the whole world, eh? You can only be in one place at a time. What if somebody gave you a 28-room mansion? You only be in one room at a time. What a profit you, my friend, if at the end of your life, your existence on this earth, that you lose your soul, lost forever. in the damnation of hell. Oh, my friends, Jesus, I tell you, the loving Savior who so loved sinners that he came all the way from heaven to this sin-cursed world that sinners might be saved. That same loving Savior, I tell you, he speaks more about hell than anybody else in the pages of the Bible. Why? Because he knows the reality of it. Like you don't, but like you need to, my friend. Lost, poverty stricken, without the riches that God would afford you. The gift of faith, more precious than silver and gold, the Bible says. And of course, faith that would bring to you the righteousness of God, that would bring you hope, that would bring you joy unspeakable, that would bring to you, my friend, the peace of God that passeth all understanding. These are things, commodities, my friend, that money can't buy, that all the riches in this world cannot buy. And without them, you are poverty stricken. You're amongst the poor that Jesus came for. I came, he says, to preach the gospel to the poor, to those who are without the riches of God. Why? In order that they might have them. And how do you have them? In the way of repentance and faith towards the Son of God, as he commands you. Repent ye and believe the gospel. For the kingdom of God, with all its riches, my friends, its grace, mercy, goodness, kindness, love, hope, and joy, where they are found. To preach the gospel, he says, to the poor, and to heal the brokenhearted. Not brokenhearted because they've lost their job or their money, or some relationship is broken down. No, my friends, brokenhearted because they've been brought by the grace of God to a realization that they've sinned against God. They've sinned against love. They've sinned against light. They've sinned against nature. Sin, my friends, is unnatural, just as its consequence is death, my friend. The wages of sin is death. Why do you think it is that death is such a fearful business to men and women? It's called in the Bible, don't you know, the King of Terrors. Why? Well, my friends, because it's unnatural. Men were not made to die. No, on the contrary, death came by sin, and sin by one man, your first parent, the first man, the head of the entire human race. He brought sin and death upon us all. And so you see, my friends, the King of Terrors remains, terrifies you. All terrified of the COVID-19, but not terrified of the one who sent it. No, my friends, fear God, says Jesus, the one who has the power not only to kill your body, that's all COVID-19 can do to you, but fear God, the one who has the ability to cast your soul into hell, not only kill your body. So you see, my friends, the gospel, Jesus came to preach the gospel to the poor, to the brokenhearted, those who offended God, those, my friends, who have brought death upon themselves. But of course, there's an escape, isn't there? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, my Lord, whom I declare to you here today. So believe and be saved. It's the command of God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the assurances, and thou shalt be saved. Salvation, my friend, for broken-hearted sinners, those who know that they've broken God's law, those who know that they've lived contrary to God, those who know that they're contrary to God in their nature, those who know that they have sinned against light and love. And go to Christ and he'll give you light. Go to him and receive the love of God. But not yours until you have, not until you've received his Son, the gift of his Son, can you be a recipient of God's love. Love you? No, he doesn't even like you outside of his son, Jesus Christ. You must first believe. You must first receive the gospel, the good news, salvation through his son, Jesus Christ. Then the love of God will be known to you, experienced by you. Those, my friends, broken-hearted, sorrowful, that is because they have broken God's law, his commandment. You know, you've heard them. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not kill.
Where's your finger in the Bible? Please show me what's got it. Don't touch.
Don't.
We are Christian brothers. God loves us.
Okay, that's good. What church are you going to?
I believe in Jesus. Jesus didn't come to fucking found a religion.
He came to clean men's mouths out.
Are you a sinner? You're on camera.
Yes.
So what you're doing is standing here judging other people for
that's illegal.
Because I obtained salvation.
So will I. And who are you to say I haven't? Not. Christ is my saviour. He saved me in 1988.
And he didn't clean your mouth out?
Well, who gives a shit? He swore as well.
Sir, you are as unholy as they come.
Bless you, brother. Bless you, brother. What have you got to say, Bob?
So like I say, friends, you know, it's don't touch.
What, because it's the only word of God? Is that the King James Version?
It's not yours.
The word of God is for everybody.
It's not yours.
Who are you to say that the word of God isn't for me? Who are you to say? Are you fucking God Almighty? Who are you to say that the word of God isn't for me? Your Bible is just fucking words on a page. Where's your heart?
You sound like a rat.
Christ loves me and you and her and them.
Oh yeah.
So don't you stand there and fucking judge me.
Sound like
Who are you? God Almighty.
You sound like a reprobate.
Reprobate.
You stand here calling.
You sound like a reprobate, sir.
You're a sinful man just like I am. We're all sinful people, and we all are under the compassion of God. Not the judgments of God, we're here under the compassion of God. Because Jesus loved us, and he died for us. He died for us.
Yes,
exactly.
Why has he sent this plague?
Exactly.
You're right. Well,
he sent it.
I don't know. Say what you've got to say. You know, you've been a bit bratty, aren't you?
Thank you, sir.
Yeah?
Thank you, sir.
Why don't you just pack up and go home? We don't want to listen.
Because he's freedom of speech. Sure, that's what it is.
Yeah, but we don't want to listen to
that.
Doesn't
matter, you carry on with your shopping, love.
So, as I was saying before, I was...
Have a good day, mate.
Very. Thank you, sir. And you too. Thank you. Bit of civilization in Newcastle, eh? So like I was saying, friends, you know, it's God that you need to fear, yeah? You listen to that, that's a reprobate, yeah? The love of God, God does not love everybody, yeah? Jesus Christ came to save his own people from their sins. And when Jesus Christ saves a person, yeah, he washes, he cleanses their heart. He takes the filthy language, not just out of their mouth. He takes it out of their hearts. Yeah. The man speaks blasphemy. Blasphemy, my friend. The good news of the gospel is that Jesus Christ came, as he says, to preach the gospel to the brokenhearted. Those who know that they're sinners. Those who know that they've broken God's law. Those who know that they've offended his love. Those who know that they've offended him. By their filthy mouths and by their filthy hearts. That's what he came to save you from. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins, not in their sins. He takes it away. He's the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He takes it away. He comes and he takes it away. He doesn't come and leave the sin behind. The sin has to be forsaken. You have to repent of it. Repent from your wicked ways and your evil hearts of unbelief, or you cannot be saved. Lost now, ruined, poverty-stricken, without the riches of God, and my friends, lost for all eternity unless there's repentance with you. Unless you turn, you will burn. Unless you repent and believe the gospel, you cannot be saved. He came to heal the brokenhearted and to preach deliverance, he says, to the captives. Nothing, madam. Thank you, madam. That's good, that's good. Bob, be with you. Yeah, wonderful, wonderful. God bless you, my dear. God bless you. Deliverance to the captives. Those captivated by sin, you know. You know, the sins that captivate you. Your infested drug abuse, you know. And alcohol abuse, you know, you're cursing and swearing, captivated by all kinds of sins, you know, addicted to it. But every one of your addictions, you know, your filthy addictions, some of you, it's disgusting immorality, you know, the sexual kind as well, captivated, you know, because you're captivated by sin. Every one of your poisonous, destructive addictions, my friend, they all point to the greater addiction inside you of sin. You're addicted to it. It's in your DNA. It's in the very fabric of your being. Sin, my friend, is what you are. Walking, breathing, talking sin. That's what you are. And fit, my friends, for nothing but hell. Fit for the fire. Unless Jesus delivers you, unless he sets you free, captivated, my friend, in bondage. Some of you tell me, you say that you've got a free will. You got a free will then? Why don't you walk away from your sins, from your addiction? Why don't you walk away from your immorality, your fornicating and your sodomy? Why don't you walk away from all that's destructive in your society today? Maybe it's because you cannot. You're captivated by sin. It's your master, my friends. It cracks the whip and you have to do its bidding. Until that is, somebody puts to death your slave master. But that's what Jesus came for, to deliver the captives. By his dying on the cross, you see, to put to death your sin master and set you free from it. But until and unless he does, you remain a captive all your day. You live in sin, you're born in sin. You're conceived in it, says God. You know, that moment, just a second, you know, in your mother's womb, when you were conceived, that's when you became a human being, and that's when you became a sinner. And then 9 months later, you were born in sin, shaped in iniquity, formed in lawlessness, and live all your days captivated by sin. And then you die in it, and you go to a lost eternity. You go to your own place, my friend, the place allotted for you by God before the foundation of the world. Unless that is, of course, by the kindness and the grace of God, you are saved. Unless God, by the preaching of the gospel, saves you, by his Son Jesus Christ, delivers you from your captivity. Unless he sets you free, my friend. But only he can. Nobody else but the power of his grace, my friends. Oh, I tell you, it's almighty, it's magnificent. When God intends to save a sinner, I tell you, nothing will stop him. Nothing. The power of God unto salvation. His grace, my friends, that set you free from your captivity, from your bondage and chain, my friends, to your sin. And recovery of sight to the blind. Recovery of sight to the blind. My friends, blind. Not only daft, not only stupid, but blind, my friends. Even the blind, don't you know, can see that the things foretold in God's word are even being fulfilled even as I speak to you now today.
Amen.
Blind, my friends. Blinded by sin, blinded by the God of this age, unable to see what you are, unable to see your hand in front of you, spiritually I mean. Blind, my friend, heading towards a precipice, and over that precipice, my friends, is the flames, the fires of hell, the damnation of hell. Unless somebody opens your eyes. But who can open the eyes of the blind? The opposition, the enemies of Jesus. Even they asked that question. Even they said, nobody ever opened the eyes of the blind but this man, Jesus. He did. And he's still doing that today, my friend. He's still opening the eyes of the blind. Spiritually, I mean. And able to see what they never saw before. That this world in which they live is for God's glory. That they themselves, my friends, they become aware. They're able to see what they never saw before. They're able to see their sinful condition. They're able to see how wretched they are. They were blind to it before. But now they see, now they understand how wretched, how sinful, how disgusting, what an abomination they are to God, and how that they need Jesus. Oh, I tell you, God, if Jesus was to give you just a little bit of sight, just enable you to see, I tell you, or something of the extent of your sin, you would swim shark-infested waters to get to Jesus. Oh, you would, my friends. But you can't see it. You're blind to it. You can't see it, my friend. You can't see your condition. And you can't see the glory of the Son of God who would save you, who would open your eyes, who would give you sight, my friends, and enable to see that you need to believe in Jesus more than you need to breathe. Oh, he came. And he's still opening the eyes of the blind, I tell you. Day by day, this world over, men and women are hearing the same gospel that Jesus preached. And my friends, in hearing, believing, and receiving their sight, delivered from their captivation to sin, made well, enabled to see, my friends, and to see the pathway in front of them, now bound for heaven, to set them at liberty them that are bruised. Oh, doesn't sin bruise you, eh? Doesn't sin hurt you? Doesn't sin destroy you, eh? But still you keep on with it. The drunkard, you know, he can see it's ruining his health. Maybe it's already broken his marriage. Maybe it's left him poverty-stricken. But he still keeps on with it. He can't do any other. Can't you see it, that sin hurts you? Jesus, take nothing from you, I tell you, but that which hurts you. But he doesn't leave you with it. When he comes, he takes it away. He sets the captive free from his drunkenness. You know, the drug artist, the drug-infested man or woman, they're hurting themselves. Sin hurts you. Sin is destructive. Evil, my friends, destroys. Can't you see it? Are you still blind? Jesus, open your eyes and maybe help you to see that. That your sin is bruising you. But he came, my friends, I tell you, he came to heal those that are bruised by sin. And I tell you, my friend, he is able. Able to mend all the hurts caused by your life and sin, my friend. To heal you and make you well. Make it well with your soul, my friend. But I tell you the worst. Oh, the worst. You've not seen the worst yet that sin can do to you. Maybe it's broken your marriage. Maybe it's broken your health. Maybe it's broken your bank balance. Maybe sin has bruised you in all kinds of ways. But you've not seen the worst yet. Oh, my friend, when you breathe your last, and especially so, when having heard the gospel preached to you, having the truth told to you, and still you reject it, still you carry on in your bruising ways with your sin. Oh, my friend, you come to the end of your life. You breathe your last, and that's not the end of it. This is what the suicides think. They think, oh, I'll take my own life, and that will be an end to my suffering. No, my friend, the very opposite is the truth. Death, my friends, is not a state of non-being. No, my friends, your soul will still be in existence in a million years' time, my friend. In a million years' time. But the question is, where? In heaven with God, or in hell with the devil and his angels? Where, my friends, will you spend eternity? An old question, but one that's still very valid. You're going to breathe your last, whether it's COVID or cancer, whether it's a traffic accident or a tsunami, something's going to take you out of this world at God's behest and at his timing. Whether you be young or old makes no difference. And then you stand before God. It is appointed unto man once to die. After that comes the judgment. Then you stand before your Maker and you give account, my friend. Even of this occasion, when you heard the gospel, when you heard the truth that would liberate you, set you free, heal you, my friend, make you well, reconcile you to God. Only the gospel, my friend, and only the preaching of the gospel, my friends, can do that for you. Nothing else. There's no other remedy. There's no other hope, my friends. You're left to your sin. And you're left with nothing. Nothing, my friends, but a hellish hovel to look forward to. What a way, I tell you, to exist in God's world. Oh, my friends, God, I tell you, God will have glory out of you. One way or another, you can rage and you can howl, but God will get glory from you, either in your salvation or your damnation, one of the two. Which will it be? Tremble at it, my friends. Fear God, the one with the ability not only to kill your body, but cast your soul into hell. Fear him, my friends, and you've got nothing else to fear. Repent ye and believe the gospel, says Jesus. Yeah. Repent ye and believe the gospel, Newcastle. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Why? For the kingdom of God, of his grace, is at hand. And that's the only way you can enter into his kingdom of grace, love, and favor, in the way of repentance, turning from your sin with no thought of returning to it, and believing on Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The only escape route given to you, none other. But my friends, if you neglect so great salvation, can you escape? How shall we escape, says the Bible, if we neglect so great salvation? Answer is, you will not be saved, but lost for all eternity. Now is the time. Now is the accepted time, says God, the day of his favor. But that doesn't last forever. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near, the Bible says, because he will not always be to be found of you. And they will come when dementia strikes you, no longer able to think and to reason from the Word of God. Or maybe your life taken from you. Days coming when God will bring an end to the day of grace, and salvation will not be to be found of you then. So now, seek ye the Lord now. Call ye upon him while he is near. He comes so very near to you in the preaching of the gospel. Under the cross, my friends, there was mockers and scoffers. There was ragers. There was gamblers. There was soldiers. There were all kinds of vicious, reckless sinners beneath the cross as Jesus was dying. But my friends, there were people who were repenting and believing and being saved. There was a murderous thief alongside him dying on a cross next to him. Remember me, Lord, when you come into your kingdom. He was assured, today you will be with me in paradise. Salvation, my friends, to faith, to believers. Whosoever believeth shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Faith, my friend, that's what's commanded. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the assurance is, and thou shalt be saved. If you'd like to have a copy of God's Word, it's offered to you freely, no cost, no obligation to you. You're simply and only for the taking. If you'd like one, you feel free to come and ask for one. May God bless you and have mercy, Newcastle. Mercy, I say, upon your precious, never dying souls.